Good morning again, everyone. Still the day that the Lord has made. This morning, I want to just, as we did this morning with our Sunday school lesson, just kind of refresh a few items in your mind that you probably already know. But it's always good to refresh a few things. And the title, if I was to have a title, of today's lesson would be Seven Keys to Christian Faith. Still talking about faith. As I said this morning, it can't hurt to go over a few things. You know, one of the things that policemen, firefighters, first responders, emergency people, they're always going over stuff, practicing things so that when time comes, they can just do it. They just don't have to think about it. You know, some things we have to get in place here that we have to go over in our minds and refresh ourselves with, which will come up in the future, that we can have in place for if things come up, we'll know what to do. One of those things is emergency plan for if something happens, we'll know exactly what to do. I remember back to the time when we had Sunday school one morning and Reynard had an episode, and we got through it, but it wasn't like we just knew exactly what to do and things could happen, and we had to kind of run around and look for the first aid kit. I didn't even know where it was. You know, we need to have things like that in place. But this, the keys I want to talk about this morning, the seven keys to Christian faith, we can kind of like have in the back of our mind so that if you find yourself in a situation where you be talking to someone, it will come up in the conversation and you can reflect on it and explain to people exactly what you're talking about and help them to understand. And maybe they will think, oh, I never thought about it like that. I never looked at it that way. And it will help bring them to Christ or possibly help refresh their memory as to what we're doing on this battlefield each and every day we live. The Bible itself reveals that what is extremely important and absolutely necessary to the Christian faith. These essentials are the deity of Christ, salvation by God's grace, not by works. Salvation through Christ Jesus alone, the resurrection of Christ, the gospel, monotheism, and the Holy Trinity. These are the main essentials that we should understand and believe. If we are followers of Jesus Christ, we should know and understand these things. And it's not such as big words or a whole lot of words to explain it. It's just to know what it is that you believe in, what makes up, as we talked about this morning, your faith, how to use it each day that we live. And hopefully others will be able to see that in you. And so they won't say that something to the effect of, oh, yeah, I know that person. They're like this when they ran those folks, and then they like this when they ran these folks. And on the cowboy and western movies, they used to say, you speak with forked tongue. Well, we don't need to speak with forked tongue. We need to speak with the same tongue, and that is the tongue or the words that Christ puts in our heart, and we do that each day we live. The deity of Christ, quite simply, Jesus is God. While Jesus never directly says, "I am God," in the scripture, he makes it very clear to those around him, especially the Pharisees and Sadducees, that he is God. You can find that in John chapter 10, verse 30. As it says, I and the Father are one. Jesus was claiming deity. And interestingly enough, he did not deny that he was God. An example in John chapter 20, verse 28, when Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." Again, Jesus does not correct him by saying that he is not God. There are many other examples one can find in the scriptures regarding Jesus' rightful place in heaven. Now, what is deity? Supernatural being having authority over the universe, nature, or human life. As in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, we can call him the Creator, because it's in him are all things, and through him is all things, and nothing was created without him. So we can see what deity is, because after all, who do we call on? Jesus Christ. Another thing we can understand is salvation by grace. Not by our works, but by God's grace, what he gives us as a gift. We are all sinners, separated from God, and deserving of eternal punishment for our sin. Now, we know that scripture that says, "The wages of sin is death." So, it ain't a day. Excuse my English. It ain't a day that we go through that we don't sin. And anybody that says that they don't has a big problem. Jesus' death on the cross paid for the sins of mankind, giving us access to heaven and an eternal relationship with God. God did not have to do this for us, but he said he loves us so much that he sacrificed his only son, as Brian just finished saying a few minutes ago. How many of us would sacrifice your only child for another relative, let alone someone that you don't even know? I know it would have been hard for me if I had been in the place of Abraham when he said, "Sacrifice your child that you've been waiting for all this time, trusting and believing that you're going to be blessed with a child." And then as soon as you get him, all the joy he brought, then God said, "I want you to sacrifice him, because I want to see that you love me more than you love the child." And as much as I said, "Lord, you know I love you," and he told me, "We'll prove it," it would be so heavy on my heart. I dare say that I don't think I could do it. "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this, not for yourselves. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works." No matter what we do, we can't brag, we can't boast, we can't say, "I did this, so God deserves to give me grace." It ain't nothing that we could do to earn it. It's a gift. And he gives it to each and every one of us. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 22, it talks about the rich young ruler. You all may recall that story. He told Christ that he's kept all the commandments from his youth. He felt like he was in pretty good standing. Yet still he lacked one thing. And even when he found out what it was that he lacked, he couldn't even go through with that material wealth. So, God's grace is given as a gift. Nothing that we can do to earn it. It's salvation by grace. Another thing we can believe in and understand, that salvation was through Jesus Christ alone. Now, what other name can we call on that can save us? Jesus said, I am the truth, I am the way, and life. No man enters unto the Father but by me. So how else are we going to get in there? Who else can we turn to? Who else can we call on? It sure can't be Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, Andrew Jackson. I think it's Andrew Jackson. I haven't seen one so long. I can't remember what's on that bill. But we can't pay our way in. In those days, they had the coins with C's on it. They couldn't pay their way in. Could be the best person that is. You know how people say, oh, man, he's a good guy, man. That guy, he's great. He can give you the shirt off his back. He'll give you anything you ask for. That's still not going to get me in. It's only through Jesus Christ. That's how I would get that salvation. The resurrection of Christ. Perhaps no other event in the Bible, aside from Jesus' appearance on earth and subsequent death on the cross, is as significant to the Christian faith as that of the resurrection. Well, there were some great things that he did. He raised the dead. Yeah, he walked on water. He even made it so Peter could walk on water. That was a great thing. He gave sight to the blind. I mean, he did some miraculous stuff. But he got up from that grave. Nobody else did that before or since. Now, some people might, want to crack a joke and say, well, Lazarus got up. Yeah, Jesus raised him up, didn't he? It was Jesus that brought him up. And then Lazarus died again. Christ got up from the grave on his own. I mean, it was his Father's help. But still, nobody else that walked the earth got him up. That's very important. The Christian faith is based on Christ crucified and resurrected to life. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and our faith is in vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. Lastly, to deny Christ's bodily resurrection, to deny that Jesus worked here on earth, was a satisfactory offering to God for the sins of mankind. That comes from John chapter 2, verse 19-21, which simply means that because Christ got up, God was pleased with the work that he did. And everything that Jesus did, he always said, I do the work of my Father, not for me, but because of what my Father do. Now, I appreciate just as well as anybody else when y'all tell me, oh, you did a great job leading songs today. I said, thank you. You say, you did a great lesson this morning. I said, thank you. But I know, and I hope you all know, that it wasn't me. It was Christ. speaking through me. And when I do something, you're going to see me get tongue-tied. You're going to see me, if nobody say, shake your head because you're messed up. I'm going to do stuff, and I know I messed up, and I don't know why, I just can't hide it. But when Christ do things through me, it's good. And I don't have to act like I messed up, or you may not know it. You may not see it. If possible, you give me a compliment. Yes, I thank you. But I tell you, it's not me, it's Christ. And I try my best to do it for him, for his glory. And I trust that you all do the same. When you do things for the goodness of somebody else, you know, whatever you do, or you help somebody with food, or you help somebody with funds, or you give of your time, or whatever you do to help someone, that you do it because of Christ and not because you want people to talk about what you did, because that ain't going to last. And when you stand before judgment, that's not going to last. Another thing which is a key to our Christian faith is the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14, Paul spells out that the gospel is, what the gospel is and how important it is to embrace it and share it with others. He reminds the Corinthians of the gospel he preached among them, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scripture. This is the heart of the gospel. Paul also warns us to be wary of the many false gospels that are being offered to the unsuspecting. Now, if they have people preaching false gospels in that time, what do you think is going on today? And we see it. We experience it. Some people come around to your door. Sometimes, which very seldom, I say very seldom because from what I've experienced, it is very seldom. We can come together, whether you be at a grocery store, you know, you're standing in the line at a grocery store, and I can be there in my Packer outfit, which I like to wear. And somebody tells me, what are them Packers going to do today? And they'll strike up a conversation. I can wear a hat that says, God is love. Nobody will say nothing to me about God. I can have a shirt on that said Jesus is love. Nobody will say nothing to me about Jesus. As a matter of fact, they turn around and look at me, and then they turn back around like they never saw me standing there. And you might have experienced the same thing. Wonder why is that? People can strike up a conversation about anything else. And the weatherman said it's going to snow today. But they're not going to say, what church you go to? When y'all have service at your church? You try it. Tell them, you know where is your church is? And they say, no, I don't believe. Well, that's right. You know where Brother Peace is? Oh, yeah, I know where Brother Peace is. When you pass that, you make that first right to church. Why don't you come and visit us on Sunday? Oh, yeah, okay, I'll try to do that. And that's the last year. Fear of that, you know. But the gospel, the false gospel, is always out there. You try to preach gospel to someone else, you don't want to hear it. I always think about a lady, and you might have seen her. She used to be at Walmart out here on Crater Road, and I've seen her in Colonial Heights. She'll walk by you and she'll just tell you, Jesus loves you. And people look at her like she lost her mind. She's just telling you, Jesus loves you. You don't want to hear that. I don't know why. But that's one of the keys One of the most important keys is the gospel. Christ died for our sins. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have read before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you receive, let him be accursed. That's in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. I haven't seen too many people, but I do know some that will go around knocking on the door and tell you about, they will start telling you about Jesus Christ, and then they will flip the script or twist it some kind of way and tell you that, oh, Jesus was just a prophet. He wasn't really the Son of God. And if you follow and listen behind them, they will change that story up. That's false doctrine. That's false teaching. And we all know that the devil works 24/7 to cause confusion, to twist the word. He will start off telling you a little bit, or he will question you, did God really say? And if you don't know, you may be confused, because that's all he wants to do, is cause doubt. Another key is monotheism. Quite simply, there is only one God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 states very powerfully, you shall have no other gods before me. Hey, I heard that somewhere before. Oh, yeah, the Ten Commandments. Ain't that the first of the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt have no other gods before me? Right. Well, I believe in God. I don't have no other God before me. But I see some people that do. Right now, on my way to church, they passed by me. They was in their car, they were pulling that boat, and they were going down to the river or to the lake because they were going fishing. Oh, it was 90 degrees outside, and they were on their way down to the beach on Sunday morning, not to church. Or we have things going on, activities in church, and they didn't make it. Not because they were sick, they just didn't want to be there. But there is no other God before them. And what's that scripture about? Your heart is where your treasure is. Well, if God is your treasure, that's where your heart is. That's what you work for every day. That's what you betray yourself as every day. Don't get me wrong. Nobody is perfect. We can't walk through life like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Oh, I don't commit no sin. And I'm, everything out of my mouth is amen, amen. Bless you, bless you. I speak like anybody else. The English that I know, sometimes it's messed up, sometimes it's broken. And I'm striving. I'm trying my best every day not to curse, especially when somebody gets me angry, because I'm not immune. I'm human. So I go through the same thing that other people go through. And I try my best to keep God in front of me and one God. Yes, I like money. Because we can't get anything else unless you have some. But I got to try to remember and keep priorities first. What did you say? Keep the main thing the main thing. Christ is the main thing. If I keep him first, I have enough money to take care of everything. And so far, I can truly say I've been blessed. You know, I have had some rough times, but I have been blessed. As you all have, I'm sure. Monotheism is the belief that there is only one God to be worshipped and served. It's so very easy to get off of that track when you let other things take the place of what you desire. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10. It's very easy to get off that path, and before you know it, you know something slipped in, and you're thinking about them or you're putting that first. A loved one could be sick, a child, or another loved one of yours. But you got to remember, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. When we think about Job, yes, in the Old Testament, but it's for our learning. He was doing right good for himself. God blessed him, and he had material things and a nice family. And he lost every bit of it while he was still on this time side of life. Yet still he maintained his faith. I would like to believe if I was to lose everything today, that I would still follow the Lord. I've been in situations I never thought would happen, and I was very helpless. But I still believe in the Lord. And the Lord got me back when I'm standing on my own 2 feet now. I'm so very thankful. And I'm not saying that's going to happen to everybody. But each day that we live, we go through a test. And as I said in the closing of the Sunday school this morning, how you handle that test depends on how the outcome will be. One more key, the Holy Trinity. While the concept of a three-in-one God is not represented by a single verse or passage, it is described frequently throughout Scripture. If we look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, we see the verse calling out the Trinity. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. While this verse mentions all three persons of the triune God, it does not call them the Trinity. So to understand the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, we must look at the totality of Scripture and glean from it the definition. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, we see how this comes together. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. Again, we see all three persons being represented, but not titled the Holy Trinity. We sometimes say God. We sometimes say Jesus. We sometimes say the Holy Spirit. But they all work together as one, and in one, and they are one. We can't separate them. That's the power that is there. We don't have any power but what comes from God. Through His Son that walked on this earth, and He blesses us with the Holy Spirit that's in us, which makes us know what is right from wrong, what we should do and shouldn't do. I know I said it. Some of you may have said it. Someday you might do say it. I know what the Bible say, but I know what I'm supposed to do, but what I was intending to do, but it's going to come a point where that butt is going to be taken out. We have an opportunity to try our best to keep on doing what we can without saying but. When we learn better, we do better. And we, none of us are never, as long as we live on this earth, whether we be 103 or beyond, we're not going to be perfect. We're still going to make mistakes. We do have the ability to ask for forgiveness to God. All we have to do is better ask. Sincerely, you know, just I'd like to think about when we were little children, and your mom said, say you're sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. You know you ain't mean it. But I said it because I didn't want to get hit again, you know. But I'm sorry. And when you say something to God, He knows whether you mean it, whether you are truly repentant. So why not be for real with Him and don't be phony? Because once we stand up on judgment day, I can't say, well, He did it, Lord. And I was just doing it because He did it. That ain't gonna work. Well, I was with them, and you know, I thought it was okay because everybody else was doing it. And God said, well, what was the right thing to do? Well, I knew what the right thing was, but, and I hope, I don't know what it's going to be like in heaven, but you know, when you be in front of, at least you think you're going to be in front of judgment, on judgment day, I hope you don't have a big screen with my whole life. Because I'm saying, well, I didn't really, and there I am doing it. You know, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? I didn't really mean it in my thoughts showing up on the screen. Yes, yes, you did. He did. He knew what you're doing. And you had the opportunity to say, I'm sorry, Lord. I repent. I really do. I need help because I just, you know, I need help. Honest. Help me, Lord. Finally, the very basis of Christianity would not be complete without the ingredient that binds everything together. What we talked about this morning, faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. As Christians, we live by this verse with the understanding that we believe in God, which we cannot see. But we see His work in our lives and all around us in His creation. We do all this through faith because we know that faith pleases God. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. If we want God to bless us, if we want Him to continue to watch over us, if we want to have a place in eternity with Him, very simply, we got to work for it. And we go to work on a regular job here. We put in a good 8 hours. We look for that 8 hour pay. Some days we go to work, and yes, I used to do it. Half a day, I don't call in. Look, I need to get off for the rest of the day because I want to go do take care of some business. I need to go take care of some business. And some jobs I was on, yeah, that's fine. You got time. You still get paid for the day. Some jobs I was on, well, you know you're going to get docked. Well, yeah, that's fine. I get docked. I just take off for the rest of the day. That's fine. I'm so thankful that God don't dock us the way we deserve. Because if he did, we would be in terrible shape. And if he was to bless us the way that we work for him, we would be in terrible shape. There's nothing more humiliating than to go to work all week, get your paycheck, or at least go up for your paycheck, and all you get is a pay stub. And it says you, well, you don't get no money because you owe this and you owe that, and you feel like, I don't work all this time for nothing. Imagine what it's going to be like when you stand before judgment. And you said, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this and I did that and I was here and I came to church and I was, and he said, depart from me, I don't know you. But Lord, I was helping you over here and I was doing that over there and I was, and he said, I don't know you. Because in your heart, you was like, I'm sorry, you didn't really mean it. You was doing it, but your heart wasn't in it. But we got time. As long as you can. You ain't got to move. As long as you can. You're still living. You don't have to open your eyes. You don't have to utter a word. Your mind is still functioning. You can still ask for repentance. We still got time. These are seven keys that I thought would be something we need to refreshing our mind. That's my lesson for this morning. May God bless you.